Praise the Lord.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. We were saying, as we're starting to come, we're finishing up our COVID years and getting back into the regular swing of, you know, the swing of things up, if you know how it goes. And we were saying we need to get back to Christian education and preaching Sunday morning services. It's what we're doing. So when I teach Christian education, we're asking other preachers to come because we have great preachers in Promise. So this morning we have Minister Smith, who's also working right now on her doctorate of theology and doing all those things. But beyond all that, though, she has a great move of the Spirit. So give her a hand as she comes, Minister John Thomas.
Really properly.
You may be the host.
Oh, no, I'll take it
back. Okay. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It's really good to be here this morning. I thank God for being my Savior. And I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to the Spirit, and to all to whom honor is due. I count it an honor and a privilege to be before you today. And I told the Lord, I said, well, if I'm supposed to preach today, you know, give me a message. And he gave me one.
Right.
So I spent time this morning putting this sermon together. So I want to give it. But no, I know that it's the Holy Ghost, because when I walked in on what the last of what Bishop Smith was saying, didn't get to hear everything he was saying. But he was talking about eternal life, and that the Christian's future doesn't stop in heaven. We are going to reign with Jesus throughout all eternity, and that is very weighty when you think about it, and unfathomable that we're going to live with God throughout all eternity. We can't even think 3 years from now, much less all eternity. So my message this morning is somewhat along those lines, and I want to talk about something that's going to happen before we start reigning with him, and that's going to be the rapture.
Amen.
And, you know, we get so busy with our lives sometimes. It's been weighing heavy on my heart lately that we got to be ready for this, y'all.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And that's the name of my message. Jesus is coming. Purify yourselves. Jesus is coming. That's the message God gave me this morning. Purify yourself. The Son of God, I say it over and over, the Son of God is soon to return. Make sure you're going. And this is an inspirational message. I'm not up here to make this heavy, but it's to encourage you to make sure. I just told a good friend of mine last night, check in with God. Make sure that what you're living, how you're thinking, what you're doing, your opinions, your lifestyle, whatever you're doing, lines up with the will of God, because Jesus is coming. And you want to make sure that all of your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed.
Get ready.
That's right.
Get ready, my mother says. Get ready. Because Jesus is coming. Now, if I say Jesus is coming and your heart drops and you get a little nervous and sad,
examine yourself.
So my scriptural context is 1 John 3:1-3. Let me go ahead and turn to that. No, you guys. We don't want to work the bishop to death. Somebody has a word this morning. I thank God for Bishop Smith. 1 John. And I'm not just saying that because he's my dad. I thank God that I belong to a church where the word is rich. And we get, you know, good teaching, and we're not crazy and losing our minds, and that we have a pastor who is concerned about our faith, we learned the other night. And I thank God for that. So I'll read it in the New King James Version first. And this is just background. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time expounding on these scriptures, because I just have a goal that I'm trying to get through. But this is the background text. Well, my scriptural context, and then I'll give you my background text. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. It is an honor to be called a child of God. because I taught a while ago that everybody is not God's child. We are all God's creation, but there are only some of us that are actually his children. And the fact that the Almighty God would consider us children is an honor, and it is a demonstration of his great love for us. It says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. They're not going to understand our life. They're going to think some of the things we do are silly because we belong to God. They don't understand what we understand because they don't have the spirit that we have. Right? Beloved, now are we the children of God. It's happening. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you belong to God now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, talking about Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so this is the point I want to get to, that everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. What hope? That when we see him, we shall be like him. And that in itself is hard to grasp unless you have the Holy Spirit. But it is something that I encourage you this morning to think about daily, that when I see Jesus, I'm going to be like him. That's a lot to take in. That means not only do I have to believe that Jesus is going to come and get me, but I also have to believe that he's going to change my body from mortal to immortal. And I'm going to see Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And I'm going to be glorified also. So with the weight of how unfathomable that is and all the processes that are going to happen in our bodies, we are supposed to hold on to that and in light of that, purify ourselves. That means have nothing in us that would keep any of these processes from taking place. Because they have a whole list of things that qualify you for the rapture. And one of the things on that list is that you have to be pure. So now let's turn to my introduction. So I'm glad that my hope is in Jesus. When you have fully surrendered to God, your hope in Christ causes you to purify yourself. You want to look like Christ, right? And this I got from the Henry Concise Commentary, because it just stuck out to me so much I have to read it. It says, it is the hope of hypocrites, not the hope of the sons of God, that makes allowance for gratifying impure desires and lusts. The hypocrite, it's his hopes that I can somehow slide into heaven without changing anything about myself. It is a hypocrite that said, they're not talking about people who say they know God. I'm not talking about sinners because they're on another plane. I'm talking about people who claim they know God, but they slip and slide and they do little things that make us wonder, didn't you say you love Jesus? Then why are you here? And why did you say that? And why did you do that thing in particular, because don't you know God? So that stuck out to me because he said it's the hope of the hypocrite that I'll be able to do some of the things that are on one of those lists. In Ephesians, there's a list where that in Ephesians, there's a list in Romans, there's a list in First Galatians. Yes, their hope is that I can get away with emulation, or I can get away with envy, or I can get away with strife, or I can get away with competition, because, you know, it's not in the top of the list. So maybe I can, you know, get away with that. No, this man said it's the hope of the hypocrites, not the sons of God, that makes allowance for gratifying impure desires. Anytime you want to delve off into those things that color or taint your pure Christian view, that's the desire of your heart. That can come from God. So I went on to say, so having the anticipation of being with Jesus, and I'll try not to be long this morning, should have a purifying effect on your life. The anticipation of being with Jesus throughout eternity, that hope that lies within us, that excitement that you should feel when you talk about heaven, that when your body can change, that should help you want to draw closer to God.
Yes.
We should want to be ready and by serving Him now and pleasing Him when?
Now.
We can't say, well, I'll, you know, when I get to heaven, God will take care of that. No. Newsflash, we're being judged
now.
Yes.
We just heard in Christian education that sin is in the earth right now to see what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Why is evil in the earth? You know, people want to ask. So that to judge the saints.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That's why evil is in the earth. To judge. Why did God put the tree in the garden? To make sure that Adam and Eve were going to obey. We know what happened with that. But God is always testing because He wants to make sure that our heart is pure.
Yes.
And those who have the hope continually, daily, after day, do the things that purify themselves.
Yeah.
That means that I'm constantly, I told my friend, and maybe it's something that I've, you know, because of what I'm going through right now, that the Spirit's been laying on my heart, you got to check in with the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to see what's on His heart concerning you.
Yeah.
It's not always about you.
No.
And what you want, and what you need, and where you want to go, and how you want to be, and what you want in life. Well, are you checking in with God to see if that's what He wants you to be, if that's where He wants you to go, if that's what He wants you to do, if that's how He wants you to live? Have you asked the Father what He thinks about your opinion? Purify yourself.
Yeah,
and if you don't want to know what God thinks of you, then you really need to purify yourself.
Right.
Get your heart right. Jesus is coming.
That's right.
We gotta stop messing around with this. This is nothing to play with.
Right.
I have to check in with God to make sure that my life aligns with His will.
Yes.
So 1 Thessalonians, let's read that really quickly because it's my best. So let me tell you what I'm talking about that you have to be ready for. 1 Thessalonians 4. And this section is called The Comfort of Christ Coming. And in these few verses, Paul is comforting the people, telling them that, you know, if you had loved ones who were in Christ, somewhere you'll see them again. But what I want to hone in on is that in 16, he says, for the Lord himself, he's going to send somebody else, right? No, the Lord himself, he's not sending an angel to get us. The Lord himself, Jesus, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So take care of him. But then we, who are alive and remain at His coming. I hope I'm alive when He comes, Mom.
Yeah,
I want to see this. I want to see this.
Yeah,
be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And He says, therefore comfort one another with these words. And it's a funny thing I said to my dad. You know, if you don't have this hope, you won't be comforted by those words.
No, you won't.
So that's my background, that Jesus is, that's what our hope is, and that Jesus is coming on the clouds to get us, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, children of God, since we have to meet the Lord in the air, I want you, and you know, think about it right now, how high can you jump?
Right back.
Especially if you weigh 200 pounds or more, you can't jump very high. So something has to happen to you in order for you to meet the Lord in the air. So as soon as these processes, I called them earlier, start rolling, your body changes, and all of a sudden, you're rising. And I think like Bishop Smith said one time, you know, the movies, they depict it as something that's happening real fast. You know, they look around and all the clothes are folded up neatly on the airplane, or, you know, there's like mass destruction everywhere because people who were driving cars, now the car crashed, you know, all the kids are missing. No, you know what I think is going to happen? I think we're going to rise.
All right,
yes.
Like Jesus did.
Yes,
right.
So that the people can see.
Oh,
I'm missing it. You're going to know.
Yes.
That brings, thank you, Holy Ghost. Turn to 1 John. They're going to know what's happening to us. They're going to have the ones that grew up in church.
Yep.
They're going to know. The ones who don't tune in to TD Jakes on Sunday morning instead of going to church, they're going to know. The ones who had their own agenda, and you know, they're pastors and preachers and apostles and teachers and prophets and got all these titles, but they weren't in the will of God, they're going to know.
Yeah.
They're going to know what's happening. You know, and I watch these movies and it's like, oh my God, you know, nobody knows what's going on. Oh, there's going to be some folks who know exactly what's going on. And they may have had some kind of, you know, idea about God, and they say they knew God, and they said they trusted God, but since they're big cow, they're down here, and I'm floating up there,
all right.
Well, your heart wasn't pure. 1 John. The second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting in the 28th verse. This is after John tells the people, he says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. He's taking care of some stuff. I'm learning in school that when they write these letters, John wrote a letter, Paul wrote several letters, they're writing these letters, they're occasional pieces of writing. They're writing to take care of some situation that is going on in the church. And in this instance, John has to clear up some things about loving each other and getting to know God. The whole chapter is about how we create relationships with each other and relationship with God. So, and that's, you know, I can teach a whole series on that. But what I want to get to now, and there's a heading on mine, it says the children of God. He says, and now little children abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we have to do something. This is my elucidation of what it means to purify ourselves. Two things, right? The first one is that we have to abide in him.
Yes.
Because I just told you, while we're rising up, there are going to be some that don't have confidence. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be ashamed before him at his coming because they're going to know what's going on. And they have not done the things that are necessary for them to qualify, as Bates says, for the rapture. So now they're ashamed. They didn't have. So what you want to do is live a life where you have confidence,
yes, they have confidence
before him. And the first point, so what does it mean to be ashamed of his coming? It means that if you have not taken the time to get to know Jesus, his appearance will make you realize that you have been living a worldly, unfruitful life, and suddenly all that you've accomplished does not matter.
Yes.
Because you didn't remain or abide in Christ. So even in churchdom, we have to make sure that our motives are pure. You know, why do we need churches? To draw men and women to God. That's what they're for. Is it not a place to be seen? Or to run your agenda across on people? Or be mean to people? Or be hateful to people? Or form groups and cliques? Sedition?
Yeah.
You know, you like some people, but you don't like others. That's not a pure heart. That's not the product of a pure heart. Because God wants us to love one another. It's a whole different sermon. But how can you have a pure heart, but you have some people that you really deep down don't want to see succeed? Oh, do you qualify for the rapture?
Oh, now help us, Lord.
We'll know when we get on the cloud. Will you be standing down here without confidence and ashamed? So we have to avoid these questions. How little can I do and still make it to heaven?
Right.
Can I just, you know, kind of sit on the fence, you know, have one foot out here and one foot in here? I know Jesus. My mom and daddy and them took me to church. Oh, are you asking yourself, how little can I do and still make it to heaven? The other question that you might be asking is, how far can I stray from the shepherd and still be part of the flock?
All right.
Like, you know, you part of the flock, but and we're all, you know, the flock is over here, but somehow or another, you gonna listen in from way back over there. I'm still part of the flock. I see y'all over there. I'll be there in a minute. No, you gotta get right up in the flock.
Yes, you gotta be part.
Right up under the shepherd.
Yes.
You gotta be able to hear the shepherd's voice.
Yes.
You can't be somewhere else when it tells a flock to move. If you're preoccupied, you're on your phone, or you're preoccupied with what's going on in your life, or you're preoccupied with another, whatever it is, you're not going to hear his voice. The flock will move on. You'll still be standing there.
Yeah, right.
How far from the flock shepherd can I get? Still be part of the flock.
All right.
Don't ask that. God searches the heart, and the spirit knows whether or not we are giving our all. He's going to know. Right? So, no, we must diligently remain in Christ, right? And now, little children, abide in him. That means draw near to him. That means give your all to him. Be diligent to him. Seek and strive to be like him. You know, get in your word and find out who he is. Make everything about Jesus, right? Jesus first. Yes, and I said confidence. Okay, so we must diligently remain in Christ so we can have confidence and not be ashamed and shrink away at his appearing, right? When you abide in Christ, you are always ready for him to come at any time because you're always seeking after him. You don't have time for anything else. You don't have time to get into things that you have no business getting yourself into because you're too busy seeking Jesus. You're too busy trying to do everything it takes to remain in him. Right, so remaining in Christ means that I am not just visiting Jesus every once in a while.
Right.
I am cultivating an intimate relationship with him.
Yes.
And the Father.
And the Father.
And the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I have confidence in his coming because I wouldn't need to substantially change my life if I somehow knew Jesus would be coming back next week. How many changes would you have to make? If you knew that Jesus was coming back next week, if you gotta go through your Rolodex in your mind, oh, I gotta get rid of that, I gotta stop doing that, I gotta let that go, I gotta do this, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. If that's what starts going through your mind, if you get a news flash that Jesus is coming next week, you're not remaining in him. Your heart's not pure.
That's right.
The other thing we have to do, he says, I have confidence in his coming because I wouldn't need to substantially change my life if I somehow knew that Jesus would be coming back next week because I abide in him. Be intentional in your walk with God.
Yes.
This is not about checking a box. Your eternal destiny is at stake here. This is not about I'm going to show up at church because mama said it's good. And by the way, I need a new car, so let me go rub on Jesus like he's a genie and see if he'll give you a new car. No. The things and the blessings that we get right now are to remind us that greater is coming.
Yes,
they're candy.
Yes.
Because if God doesn't bless us, some of us, we won't hold on.
Yes.
So he does that to encourage you. But we can't get caught up in the things that are meant to encourage us. They're supposed to draw us closer to God.
Yes.
Our focus has to be on God, not the things that he gives us.
Right.
Because as long as we focus on God, Jesus said, he will make sure all that other stuff gets taken care of.
Yes, yes.
He's taking good care of his children. Abide in Christ, and everything will be all right.
Yes.
Second verse, and I'm almost done. Just talking about purifying yourself. 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So what are we supposed to do to purify ourselves? Practice righteousness. You know why? None but the righteous shall see
God. That's right. Amen.
So how do we do that? We understand that your new spiritual nature is from the Lord. Nothing emanates from you. I don't care how kind you are. It doesn't matter how much you pride yourself on your intuition. Oh, I'm so intuitive. How did you know that? Oh, I just knew what was going to happen.
Okay.
I know someone who says that all the time. I want to ask them, well, what spirit told you that?
Right.
And why are you so proud of that? I just be knowing stuff. You know, stuff just come to me and I know. No.
Jesus.
Because your new nature would have you rely on the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things.
Yes.
Right, and bring all things back. So if you're going to bring it back to your remembrance, what do I need in there? The Word of God.
Yes. Yeah, bring it back if it's not there.
So understand that your new spiritual nature is from God. Your consistent striving for God's righteousness, even in trying times, Even when the devil comes. See, this is why we have to give people the word of God, because you need something to fight with when the devil comes so that you can remain righteous. You know how temptation gets you? Temptation gets you when you feel like what you have is not enough and now I got to do something else because all of a sudden in this moment God is not satisfying me. When you fell off the temptation, that's what you're saying. God is not satisfying me right now. Let me go do this instead. You're not letting righteousness take over. You are leaning to that thing instead. And so you have to practice righteousness. Abiding in Jesus means that we practice righteousness in our lives because we are born of Him. When we are born of God, our lives change from a disposition of sin to a disposition of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 2:18 says we are changed when we turn in. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I'm almost finished. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if we're focusing on Jesus, if we're using Him as our mirror, and we want to be like Him, we'll start to purify ourselves until we start to look like Jesus, who is our example, prime example of how to please the Father. Which is what we all want to do, right? So when you're born of someone, you come from their family, born of righteousness. There is certain to be a family resemblance. What is your family resemblance to God? How much do you look like? Do people look at you and say, "Oh, you look like God. You must be one of God's children." You know, you got His eyes and His nose, and you may, I don't know where you got some lips from, but you definitely have His ears. Do you resemble God? God is righteous. Do you resemble God? So I need to be righteous, because none but the righteous shall see Him. So if I'm resembling God, I'm going to practice. Effectively practice righteousness, because it's what's purifying me.
Yes.
Right? And one thing I'll add in here that I've been toting for a minute, the Bible's not a self-help book.
That's right.
It's not. Right now in Christendom, there are an awful lot of good motivational speakers. I love to listen to Sarah J. Roberts. I love her stuff. But at the end of the day, it's feel-good stuff. Yes. Because even though she uses the word of God in her example, what she is a great speaker, and her illustrations are excellent. Like her thought map, the way it's amazing to hear her speak, and you feel great when you leave her service. But when the enemy comes, she doesn't give you anything to fight with. Because she has used the Bible as a self-help book. Instead of her bringing the word of God for me to see God, she has turned the word of God so that it shows me and how I can be better, and how I can start a business, and how I can write a book, and how I can be a multimillionaire, and how I can have passive income. It's all about the person, the person, the person, the person, the person. And she's based it on somebody in Scripture, but she hasn't given me enough of the word of God for it to convict me, to make a change. She hasn't given me the message that I have to fix what's inside of me first, according to God, not according to the world's standards, so that then all that other stuff can happen for me. So the Bible is not a self-help book. Right? We don't go to the book to see ourselves. We go to the Word to see God. We who believe in God must learn to focus more on being God.
Self-aware.
We need to be God aware. You know, everything's about being self-aware. You need to know yourself. This is true. You need to know yourself so that you can pray about yourself.
Yes.
But once you figure out that, but you have to come to the Word of God to know that, oh, this has got to change about me. The Word of God is a mirror that reflects back to us what God looks like. And when we look in that mirror, we have to see how much we look like God. How much the view that I have of myself according to the Word of God, how am I adding up next to Christ's life? Will I be nervous when He comes? So we who believe in God must learn. So I learned that there is no good thing in me except the Holy Ghost.
That's it, right?
Right. And when I'm God aware, guess what happens? I have the proper focus for my life. When I'm God aware, I have honed in on the thing that I'm supposed to focus on, whatever that is. Because as I started off saying, you have to check in with God. And if I'm checking in with God and I'm using the Word of God the way that it's meant to be used, I mean, there's something for it in the Word of God that will meet anything you're going through in your life. This is true. And I think a lot of speakers, they grasp a hold of that. Oh, this matches this and this matches that. But what I'm awfully afraid of as a minister is that you can't take something in the Word of God and bend it and shape it and twist it so that you can make your statement.
Right.
It's the other way around. You come to the Word of God to see what God says,
yes.
And then you find out what part of your life that's touching.
Yes.
Then it convicts you and changes you. Right? Because if you're not getting revelation from God, you can make a scripture say anything you want it to say.
Amen.
And it sounds good. And nothing against Sarah Jakes Roberts. I'm sure the woman is full of the Holy Ghost. She's a great evangelist. People follow her. And maybe there are people that follow her and they're on their way to heaven. Praise God. I admire her. But I did notice that we need more of the Word of God. We need not to see, you know, we got way too many people on YouTube talking about how to start a business and how to write a book. And you know, how to be, you know, soul care and all this stuff. And we have and way too few people talking about, but you got to get right because you got to make it to heaven.
Right, yeah.
You know, so, you know, and I'm finishing. So, like I said, and I begin to become self-aware according to how much I align. So your self-awareness should stem from how much I align with God. You know, purify myself. All these things go into purifying yourself. You may stand. And I hope you got something from the Word of God this morning. So as I go out, and you know, I've been given this ministry, the women's ministry. That's what I'm focusing on for the ladies. Is that, you know, it's good, you know, and I sent out for suggestions, and some people, they wanted, oh, you need to have someone come in and talk to us about how to write a resume. You need to have someone come in and talk to us about finance. And, you know, the list is endless, you know, on women's issues and mental health and all this. And that's good. But the Spirit said to me, well, you know, since you're starting this thing from the ground up, we need to start with the inside. So my focus is going to be on getting your soul right. Let's care for our soul. Let's work on our minds. Let's work on our hearts. Let's find out what God thinks of us. Let's cultivate our relationship with God, and then we can get around to writing a resume. Because the blessing will be there, you're gonna need to write one. In the meantime, go on Google and find out how to write a resume. Because you know the focus is stronger than that. I need to be able to draw the women to God so that they're beautiful in God's eyes. Do you know what it means to be beautiful to God? He doesn't care how many books you've written.
That's true.
How does your heart look?
Yes.
Purify yourself in the name of Jesus. And if you're not pure this morning, or maybe I've said something that has got you thinking, I hope, you know, just raise your hand and say, Lord, wash me.
Lord, wash me.
Lord, wash me.
Lord, wash me.
Wash my mind.
Wash my mind.
Wash my heart. In the name of Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, wash my heart. Lord, search me to see if there is anything in me that you cannot go along with. Lord, search me and see if there are decisions that I'm making that are going to lead me down the wrong path. Lord, get all up in my business, oh God, and fix the things that need to be fixed. Lord, change the things that need to be changed. Lord, give me a new understanding, Lord, to cause me to know which way I ought to be going. Lord, put me on the right path if I'm not on the right path. Lord, put things in my life to draw me back to where I need to be. Lord, because I need to go with Jesus when he comes. Lord, fix every little thing about me, oh God. Lord, don't let anything go unmissed. Lord, show it to me. In the name of Jesus, Lord, show it to us, oh God, the things about us that you would so like for us to change about ourselves. Lord, the Bible says that we should purify ourselves. So the onus is on us, oh God, but we need you to lead us and guide us and show us how that's done. Lord, each of us are individuals. Lord, there's something different for each of us. Lord, I'm asking you, oh Lord, throughout this week, Lord, show us the things that we need to improve upon, Lord. Show us the ways in which we are not giving you our all. Lord, show us the ways in which we have not given you our best. Father, in the name of Jesus, show us the ways in which we've gotten away from the flock, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, show us the ways in which we are coming up short. Lord, because we need to reign with Jesus throughout all eternity. And Lord, we want our heart to be as pure as it can possibly be. In the name of Jesus. And Father, when we go down in prayer this week, Lord, let your spirit lead us and guide us so that we pray the right prayer. And Father, when we read our Bibles this week, oh God, Lord, send your spirit that teaches all things to open up our eyes to your word so that we receive the revelation and the message that you would have for us that would draw us closer to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that we know that you have preeminence, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you heal the sick today. If you're under the sound of my voice, Lord, heal the sick. Lord, remember Bishop Edwards today and all those who are sick among us, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you would just give everyone peace. Somebody needs peace this morning. The troubled one needs peace. Give that person peace, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cause her to know that everything is going to be all right because you are in control. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who have questions in our minds, Lord, give us peace concerning those questions, oh God. In the name of Jesus. The Father, I ask that you bless our pastor in Jesus' name, Lord, and give him wisdom and lead him and guide him, oh God. In the name of Jesus, name of Jesus. I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn the service back over to Bishop.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody for coming. I have an announcement. Next week, Timaeus is going to have a birthday party at my house, and all the kids are invited. I think it's at 2 o'clock. Is it 2 o'clock? Yeah. We're gonna have pizza, and I don't know what else we're gonna be doing. But so you're welcome to come if you want to come to that. And I thank you all for coming out this morning. You may stand. Praise the Lord. So next week, that's the 25th. 26th. The 25th, the 26th is Sunday.
Yeah, 26th.
Oh, it's on Saturday?
It's on Saturday.
Yeah, 26th.
Yeah, 26th.